Hey friends, if you know me, you likely know that I have a sweet spot in my heart for veterans. My father has a Purple Heart and the scars to show for it. Just recently, I learned that a common side effect of PTSD is hoarding. And those of us with aging parents have seen how quickly a lifetime of memories and keepsakes get stacked in boxes and closets, causing more and more clutter and stress over time. My friends at Floor to Ceiling Home Healing are helping hundreds of folks, veterans included, in residential and commercial settings with decluttering, packing, organizing, itemized liquidations, and even biohazard and hoarding cleanup. They are offering a 20% off discount to our listeners here at Shockin' Y'all. So you can learn more by calling 424-272-8892 or visit their website, www.fchhspaces.com. You can also text Nicole 20, your full name, your phone number, and email to that same phone number, 424-272-8892. You'll receive a 20% off discount just because you're a Shockin' Y'all listener. My friends, we are not meant to do it all alone. The team at FCHH is here to help. Hey, y'all. Welcome to Shock and Y'all, a podcast about our mental and physical fitness, spirituality, and your big, bold life. I'm your host, Nicole Shaka, and I am so grateful you're here. I train bodies for a living, but I'm even more interested in harnessing the mind and elevating your spirit. Every week, I'm speaking with exceptional humans or experts in their field, or folks who genuinely have a unique and valuable insight we can all benefit from. So get cozy, or lace up your shoes, or keep your eyes on the road. And let's drop right in. Oh, hey, y'all. Welcome back to Shockin' Y'all. I am speaking with Laura Conley. This feels more like a little mini party, so you better get your cupcakes. Oh, it's food related. Her program is called Yummy Mummy, and I have so many food puns in here. Just prepare yourself. She is brilliant. She is a coach for weight loss. In fact, her program, the Yummy Mummy, is absolutely transformative for people who want to lose weight for the last time. She goes into great detail about the science behind it. We talk about body positivity. We talk about being in the body you desire to live in. Is that vain? Is vain bad? So many important conversations here. And I am thrilled to introduce you to my friend, Laura Conley. Let's dive right in. It's Laura. It's Laura Conley. Sit still, Laura, while I read you this love letter, okay? Laura Conley is funfetti. That's what I think of when I hear her name. Just wait till you see. She's bubbly and creative and fun and driven, and she'll tell it like it is. Laura created a program that changes the way folks speak to themselves in regards to food, but it goes so much deeper. She has a brilliant way of coaching that makes you feel like she's a sister, not only leading the charge, but supporting you at all costs. She is her own person through and through. She attracts powerful feminine energy because she herself shows up with the integrity and childlike curiosity needed to do big things. I can't wait for you to experience my funfetti friend, Laura Conley. Welcome.
Oh my God. I'm literally going to cry with tears. Can I actually have that so I can just make that my bio?
Sure. Yes, you may. Yes, you may.
It's way better than what I've written.
Oh, please.
So good. Thanks for having me, Nicole.
Oh my God. You guys, first of all, I'm just going to plug Laura's podcast real quick. It's called the Yummy Mummy Podcast. Wait, let me slow down. I get real excited. Yummy Mummy Podcast. And it is fabulous. I mean, she's fabulous. So that's why I think it's fabulous. But also the brilliance and the research and the knowledge and the education you bring to it are just, I eat it up. Not to be pun intended, but I just gobble it up. Still pun intended.
The best episode over there on that podcast is the one with you.
Yeah,
so go check it out, you guys, if you want to hear me interview Nicole. It was so good. We had so much fun.
We did have a lot of fun. That was
I love it.
That was a good time. Laura and I go way back. Well, I mean, we can talk about that, of course, because I do want to say when I met Laura, I was right away. I was like, this one's a lot. And
I've never heard that before.
That's sarcasm. You guys, she's sarcastic. She came in with the biggest smile and the biggest amount, just the biggest energy. And I was like, you're hired, whatever. Sure, you're hired.
You could kind of teach yoga, but since you smile, you're in.
She could definitely teach yoga. And then she was just, it's just rare to find, I think, this kind of bubbly energy meshed into a yoga teacher. So I was stoked. I was just like, bring it on. You're a perfect fit. You're hired. Here's $4. Good luck.
That's so, I think it was five.
It was five.
It was five.
Yeah. Listen, it was a different time. Okay.
Yeah.
People were working for free. I'm just throwing myself under the bus to start. Mm-hmm. What a great feeling. Okay. Laura changes people.
Oh my God. Can I come on your podcast every single week? This is sure. So, I'm just going to call you. I'm just going to call you every time, you know, my you son tells me he hates me.
Wait, can I call you when my son tells me he hates me?
Yes, you can. Okay. You're amazing.
Well, this is a great friendship. I want to start with, because you work in the weight loss field and there's a lot of hoop and hanny. I just made that up. Hoop and hanny around weight loss and the way we talk about it nowadays, the way we perceive it. Like, we've tried to come so far in terms of the 90s, no offense, the 90s cocaine mm-hmm. vibes. Back when I was popular with my flat ass, I was really popular in the 90s because I had no ass. And turns out that's not cool anymore. Mm-mm. Or functional. If we're being serious, it was never functional not to have glutes, turns out.
You tried it?
Yeah, went there. Just save yourself the trouble. I want to know, is it vain to want to look good? And by good, that's quotations, like to want to look hot and sexy and your fittest or your, what is it vain? Is the whole thing vain?
I mean, yes and no. Okay. So, I mean, I kind of think it is vain to want to look good in quotes, air quotes for sure. But I also think it's not vain, and we'll talk about that in a second, but maybe it is a little bit vain. Like, and also, is that a problem? Does everything have to be deep? Like, does everything have to be the like most profound, deep, worthy work in the world? It's like, sometimes can't we just want something because we want something and we don't have to judge it? So like, I just want to also kind of give people permission. Like, if you want to lose weight and your reasons are quote unquote vain, who cares? Because number one, who effing cares? And then number two, the work that you have to do in order to lose weight permanently is deep work. Mm-hmm. So whatever your reason is at the beginning, you can't actually do it permanently and forever unless you're doing it from the root, unless you're doing it on like, so say I'll get clients sometimes, they're like, I just want to be able to like rock a bikini again, whatever that means in air quotes. But if they do my process, which they don't really know because I sort of trick them, I'm like, come on in and lose weight, except for we're going to learn to like love ourselves unconditionally. And so then they love themselves unconditionally. So like, I actually don't care what their reasons are and if they're vain or not, because I know that in order to do this work, you have to do the real deep work. And so I actually am not mad at my past self for wanting to. Some of my reasons, actually, when I did lose weight for the last time, were vain. A lot of them were very quote unquote deep. Again, no judgment. A lot of the reason why I wanted to heal my relationship with my body and food were really for my daughter, because I wanted to like interrupt this inheritance that we passed down from generation to generation as a culture. So yes, I had deep reasons, but also I had vain reasons. And even if I had had just vain reasons, I'm so glad that I went on this path, because it's everything. It's like I always talk about, like, I'm so glad there isn't a magic pill. I mean, now there kind of is a magic pill. We could talk about that later. But I'm so glad there isn't a magic pill, because it would have robbed me of my relationship with myself and like my ability to like really truly be myself and love myself unconditionally. And like, yes, I want my daughter and my son to have a healthy relationship with their body and food, but more importantly, I want them to be able to like love themselves in their imperfections and in their mistakes and all of that. And that's what this work actually taught me.
Yeah.
So yeah, yes, it's vain, and no, it's not vain. And like the no to no, it's not vain is, I feel like I wanted to lose weight so badly for vain reasons, but also because I wasn't healthy. People would be like, say I was like on the higher end of my weight, people would be like, you look great. You're totally fine. It's fine. Just accept your body. And it's like, yeah, but like I was feeding myself crap. I was overeating. I was borderline binging, and that wasn't healthy. So for me to listen to my desire to lose weight actually healed so many health problems too.
Yeah.
So I think that wasn't vain, because now I'm like way healthier emotionally, mentally, like even spiritually, like I could go on and on and on.
Yeah.
My ability to like be present with my kids because I'm not distracted with my like fat roll, or because I love my body now, or like, oh my God, I have to actually can't hang out with you kids because I have to do a second workout because I overate last night and now I need to punish myself. That
right,
kind of
right,
thing.
Right, right.
So yeah.
Just as you're speaking, I just wrote this down. It just came to me because I'm a prophet, but I just wrote, you can't outrun the root. Mm. Like no matter your reason for showing up, you can't outrun the root. Like you, good luck to you. It's all these leaves and flowers on the exterior, but deep down you're not nourished on the inside. Your roots are all hodgepodge. Mm. I mean, I'm making up words left and right on this podcast today.
That is, that's because you're a prophet.
Right. Thank you.
That was very prophetic. Yeah. Oh, I didn't see. I didn't know that word. I was going to say profitable. You never know.
You don't.
So yeah, you have to, and like people do this all the time, right? Like I'm sure you've seen this. People will lose weight without doing the root work, and then the habit will just transfer into something else, like shopping or drinking or whatever. Yeah. And then they'll gain the weight back anyways. So
that's a rough set right there. Nobody wants that. My other thought is, because this is a special time to be alive, and we've come a long way. And I just had this conversation. Do you know Katie Horwich?
Oh, I love her. I
love
her. My
darling little Katie Horwich. I know. She's, I don't know. So I think your episode will air either right before hers or hers after you. I'm not quite sure. But she brought up that, do you remember that Dove campaign when it came out with the women of different sizes, different colors, different, everything was ages, demographic, the whole thing was, and it was beautiful. It was the first time we were witnessing marketing to actual humans versus, like I said, 90 cocaine, beautiful, beautiful 90 cocaine models. The word body positivity is fascinating to me. And it also feels a little bit, I stumble on it, because if you're desiring to live in a body that's healthy and fit and it looks a certain kind of way to you as an aesthetic, how do you placate these things? How do you even balance body positivity with wanting to look a certain kind of way?
Yeah. Oh, it's such a loaded question, but we'll go there. Okay.
So. Sorry. We don't have to.
No, I think the body positivity movement is so great. I think it falls a little like short because I think it's just a response to what you're saying, like the 90s, like Kate Moss's, right? Mm-hmm. It's like we've almost like, in my opinion, swung too far over to the body positivity movement. And like, I had so much shame actually, because people were like, just love your body as it is. Like just think your body's beautiful. Just love yourself as you are. And I was like, but I don't. Like, this is not me. This isn't me. And so I felt shame because on one hand, and especially as a yoga teacher in LA, on one hand, I was supposed to be the stick figure as a yoga teacher. And that meant you were a good yoga teacher if you were like a waif. But then on the other hand, I'm a yoga teacher. I'm supposed to be all enlightened. I'm supposed to like love my body as it is. But like deep down, I didn't. And so what I was doing was not positive and was not in alignment with love, body love, self-love, because what I was doing, I was ignoring a deep desire to be healthy. And like, when I am healthy, when I'm eating food for what it's for most of the time, which is fuel, I actually feel like light and alive and like myself, and I'm present. And so by ignoring that desire to lose weight and to be healthy, I was not loving myself. I was not being positive. And I think so, like, it's like taboo to want to lose weight. But like, what if you listening to the desire to want to lose weight or lose fat or whatever you want to call it is an act of love, is an act of self-love. Like, what if? So I don't know if that actually answers your question, but it's like the body positivity movement, again, it falls short because it's like, just love your body. But I'm like, okay, but what if this body right here is a product of me actually not loving it because I'm fueling it with so much processed garbage. And now I'm supposed to just love it, but I actually don't love it. So it's like, and then I feel shame because of it.
This is the conundrum though, because it's just a self realizing on. Self reiterating.
Yeah.
You're just going in circles. You're on the hamster wheel.
Yeah. It was so defeating. And I felt like there was like no way out of it until I finally just admitted it to myself. Like, No, I do want to lose weight and I want to be healthy. And I really want to heal my relationship with food and my body. Like,
because it's not something you get to ignore. You need food to live, turns out. So this is something that you face every single day for the rest of your life. It's not something that you can put in a closet or a black box or decide, I'm not going to dabble in that anymore.
Yeah. And I think, thank God, because it does force you to do it, right? Like it forces you to heal your relationship. I mean, if you want to, you of course don't have to, but you have to eat food. And like in my dieting days, like I was so mad. Like, I mean, I think we've all experienced that, but like, what? I need food. Like I was so pissed at my body for needing to eat. I mean, of course now, I'm on the other side of that. Thank God. But
it's so obvious too, though, to me, because like last night we were at the Clippers game for my son's school basketball event. And I was sitting with my friend Dana, and she's been in my fit programs before. She's also so cool. So I just love talking to her. And we were like, oh my God, we're going to have to eat a cheeseburger, aren't we? I mean, we've been at this game for like 5 or 6 hours because there was so much pomp and circumstance. It was beautiful. His school's amazing. They were honoring a coach. It was the coolest thing ever. But we had to get there at like 4, and the game didn't start till 6:30, and it was already 8. And we're just like, we have to eat. And then we went together and we're like, I guess we either eat this hot dog or we eat this pretend cheeseburger. And so we ate the cheeseburger. It was fine. To be fair, I don't eat a lot of cheeseburgers. So last night I'm eating this cheeseburger and I was like, this is either the greatest thing I've ever had, not real food, or I'm literally starving. Dana goes, or maybe it's all of it. I was like, okay, because it was delicious. And then an hour later, we're still sitting there and I'm like, I feel disgusting. And she's like, I could go to sleep sitting up. I'm like, is this not a perfect testament to what you're eating fuels you? We both were just ravenous because we had gotten to that point and we ate what was available. And then we just were like, this is a great reminder that it's fuel.
Yeah.
And it's fuel
so
matters.
True.
Right.
I mean, that's the other reason why I'm so happy I had to go through this, is because like, there's so many other benefits, like health benefits, like daily energy benefits. Like,
yes.
Yeah.
Like you don't think about it. Fortunately, I grew up in a household where we were conscious of what we were eating. My mom cooked really healthy for the most part, and we didn't eat a lot of fast food growing up. But I recognize a significant difference. So my body is just primed for it. The minute I start to eat that stuff. Now, candy, we had, sorry, Rosie. So I know she's listening. Sorry, Rosie. I love you so much. She had a candy drawer. Okay. When I say had, I mean, she has a candy drawer. And it lives there and we all know it. But I used to go into that thing and I would dig around for the cinnamon discs. You remember when, I don't know if you ate these. I ate cinnamon.
What are those?
It's just like hard candy, but it's cinnamon.
Okay.
And I would just pound them, which I mean, whatever, cinnamon disc. But it was something that I just like look forward to and I craved it. And it's still a part of our life. It's in that house. Her candy drawer is in the house, but I don't even think about that candy drawer. You know what I mean? I don't even.
Yeah.
It's incredible how over time you start making these healthy choices and it doesn't have its pull over you like it used to.
Yeah, totally. I mean, you really do retrain your body and your brain.
Yeah.
But it is, it's really hard in our culture because you have your lower brain that tells you like food isn't readily available. You have like the dopamine response and you have the food industry. And like, don't get me started on the diet industry, but you have the food industry. They have labs that literally are trying to make the food taste as good as possible. So you get the biggest dopamine hit. So you've got like, it's like 3 against 1. So it's like your higher self and then
super trillion dollar.
Yeah.
However many trillions of dollars that industry is against you.
Yeah. It's hard. Yep. And then the dieting industry that doesn't actually want you to lose weight for the last time, because like they don't make money if you continue to yo-yo. So it's not an easy feat to come out on the other side and like really love your body, and not from a body positivity traditional standpoint, but to really love your body and the way that it looks. And then like to have a healthy relationship with food. It's like a daily practice. It's
Like, what's one skill set? Do you have one that you can just like share with us that would be an easy one that's like low hanging fruit? Why is everything coming back to food?
I love it. Pun intended. She planned out all the puns.
She did it.
Google Doc.
She's not that smart. Okay. Anyway, any low hanging fruit for us, Laura?
Like what? Like a strategy or something?
Yeah. Like what's a skill? Let's say, I don't know. Let's say you have a candy addiction. And you sometimes crave it during the middle of the day or at night.
Yeah. I love this. Okay. So, I'll tell a little personal story and then I'll loop it back in. So I was always confused as to like why I didn't weigh what I wanted to weigh. But what I realized is I was totally an emotional eater. Now, I wasn't somebody who was eating like a carton of ice cream every night because I had the most stressful day ever, but I was like picking out a handful of nuts. Like, and I always was like, oh, I eat healthy, quote unquote. Yeah. But I would like, I'd be bored. So I'd grab a handful of nuts or like go into the candy drawer or whatever. I was never like binging, so to speak, but I was overeating because I was using food a lot of the time for what it wasn't for, as a reward, as something to like numb my anxiety, right? Like so often I was eating emotionally. And if you ever find yourself eating when you're not hungry, it's an emotional eat. And this is not bad or wrong. This is actually like, hopefully, a big light bulb moment. I know it was for me because I was like, oh, this is why I don't weigh what I want to weigh. This is why I'm one of the reasons why I'm struggling is because I'm using food for what it is not for. And I do think it's okay to use food to celebrate once in a while, right? But like all the time, I was using it all the time to solve an emotion or to make an experience that wasn't fun, more fun. Those are all emotional eats. And so what I really learned to do was to like feel feelings, something that it's like so crazy. We should be taught like in the fifth grade how to feel and we're not. Mm-hmm. And I catch myself with my kids too. Like I catch myself wanting to numb their emotions or fix their emotions or take away their emotions or solve something with food. And I have to resist the temptation, again, no pun intended, resist the temptation to use food to help them to soothe or to provide a reward or to make the celebration better. And so like, this is the strategy is like, can you just notice when you are eating, when you're not hungry? And then can you ask yourself the question of like, what am I actually looking for here? Like, what do I actually need? Cause I'll like, do you ever like wander in the pantry? Like sometimes I just like find myself like hanging out in the- I'm like, what am I doing in here? Like,
it is the focal point of our home. Let me tell you what my son does. He walks in and we have a human sized pantry. It is, you can go in it and hide. Okay. Like it's double doors, four shelves. I thought it was a work of art when we walked into this place. And I was like, well, look at this. This is an exceptional cubby. He opens it, stares in there. Yeah. And I'm like, how about an apple? How about a protein shake? How about I can make you up some eggs real quick? I'll make you up a little burrito. And he's like, what about this processed popcorn?
Yeah.
And I'm like,
exactly. Oh, totally. Like we're all just hanging out or like, I'll just stand there with the fridge open and I'm like, well, look at this cheese.
10 minutes ago.
It was the same. That's the strategy that I think a lot of people aren't talking about. Like, we could talk about like hunger hormones and how to balance those. And I mean, I could geek out on that. It's so fun. But what I think the real win is can you, and when I say like, we didn't learn how to feel, like learning how to feel is really not that hard. So if you find yourself like, again, in the pantry or in the fridge or picking at something and you're not hungry, just what am I looking for here? Like, what do I actually need here? Like, is there an emotion that I'm resisting or that I'm ignoring? And oftentimes too, it's like, say you do want to lose weight and you're going to stop eating your 3 o'clock brownie. Sometimes we'll eat the brownie because we don't want to feel the emotion that's there when we say no thank you to ourselves. That's an emotional eat too. And so it's like, oh, I don't want to have to feel like the resistance or the discomfort or the restlessness or the anxiety or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's like processing your feeling is it's literally, I mean, I could talk forever about this, but if you can just name the emotion, that is like 75% of processing an emotion. It's like, oh, I'm just experiencing boredom. What I need to do right now is take a deep breath and go do the thing that I'm procrastinating against. So, yeah. And it's not fun because it's way more fun to just eat the freaking popcorn. Like it is. Right. Like I'll give it to you. It's like you get a hit. Like, of course. Oh, record my podcast or eat popcorn? Duh. Like this is not a hard question. But
you didn't say that about this podcast, did you?
Oh no, not this podcast.
Right.
No,
it's your podcast.
It's just my podcast. No, it's just my podcast and what I have to do a solo episode. But the thing is, it's like every time I hit record, I'm having the time of my life. I have so much fun doing it. Yeah, it's just the hitting the record. And so I like drag the resistance into my office. I shut the door, I hit the record button, and then I'm so satisfied. And here's the thing, like for some of us, like my husband, for example, like eating a bag of popcorn because he's bored doesn't have a huge net negative in his life. It's not really that big a deal. But for me, it had a big negative. I energetically would have like these sugar hangovers from eating too much dark chocolate the night before. So it had a huge net negative in my life, in my relationship with myself. And so that's a question you want to ask too. If like, if you are eating for emotional reasons, it's not a problem in your life, then like keep doing you, whatever.
Yeah.
Now you might be missing out on the opportunity to like learn to level up your emotional intelligence and like learn how to process feelings, right? Which is so cool to do, because the reason we do or don't do anything in life is because of an emotion. Say like you want to do this big speaking engagement, or you want to do this big podcast, or you want to ask somebody, can I come on your podcast? Like the reason you don't do it is because you're afraid of a feeling. But if you know you can feel any feeling and you can have your own back, you can literally do whatever you want in your life. It's like kind of the craziest thing.
You should be a coach. That's so.
Should I?
I think maybe you should stop whatever it is you're doing right now and coach. I love this so much, because let's just get down to the nitty gritty. It's the it's the avoidance of a feeling.
Yeah.
And the feeling will always pass. Like,
are you a coach? Wait, are you a coach?
Well, not, I don't have a certificate like you do. Maybe one day. But
you have a certificate in life.
Oh, I got a certificate in a couple labs.
Trying to get Nicole to like be a life coach. She'd be so good, you guys, wouldn't she?
I know. I looked into it. We'll see.
Okay. Sorry. Keep talking.
No, don't be sorry. It's definitely on my bucket list.
And what's a feeling? Like what's an emotion? Pop quiz, Nicole.
A lie? No.
No, it's like, it's just a vibration in your body.
Oh, that was a real question. Oh, it's a vibration in your body. Yes, that's right.
Which is hilarious. Like that's what we're afraid of.
This is what you're afraid of.
That's it. That's literally it. Now I understand like some of those emotions or feelings could be like super painful. Like,
of course.
But like really, like I don't want to like, you know, invalidate big feelings like shame or embarrassment or whatever, but it's still just a vibration. And I think that that actually can take away some of the
power.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
yes,
it doesn't have power over you. Mm-mm. It's moving through you.
And I don't know if you've experienced this, but sometimes when I like release all the resistance to what I think is going to be a really horrible emotion, actually what the feeling that I get then, like I have this story about a miscarriage and I was resisting the miscarriage. I like wouldn't believe that the miscarriage was happening. And then finally I like opened up to it and felt it. And like, actually the feeling, yes, there was shame there and there was disappointment. But when I fully let it come without the resistance, there was also then connection and bliss with myself. And it was like, so then it was
chills.
Then the pain isn't that bad. It's like, it's so fascinating. I don't know.
Here's what I'm learning about pain and, you know, via grief. What it does is it becomes a spectrum like this, right? So as dark as you go with your grief and your pain and recognizing those things exist within you, the higher you go with joy and gratitude and beauty. And it's like, they live on the opposite ends of the spectrum, but you have to go dark to get light. And there's no, you can't outrun the root.
Mm. Yeah.
The root is the, it's like in astrology, right? You have, do you know anything about astrology? You have opposite signs. Like I'm an Aquarius. So my opposite sign is a Leo, and something about that on the spectrum and the circle that we counter one another very well.
Mm.
The darkness and the grief and the shame and the painful emotions counter the beauty and the light and the feel good joy. Yeah. They have to.
Mm. And you know those people that just hang out in the center, right? Oh. Where it's just, well, you probably don't know that many people because you're so full spectrum living over there, but you do like those people, they're just in the middle, right? And they're not really experiencing aliveness and bliss, and they're not experiencing like the worst emotions of like terror and grief and whatever. Right. They're just staying safe and small in that middle kind of like numb center. And it's like, it's so sad to watch, actually.
It's terrible. It's, I call those NPCs.
Oh.
Non-player characters. I learned that's video game talk. So
that
they're the ones that
so
go
good.
Around that they don't have the functioning of a character that's embodied, of a character that's being played, right? And I hate video games. So the irony here is not lost on me, but that's what Matt and I would call them that, because you see those people in the world all the time. They're going from left to right, and you just see, like, it's kind of a numbed middle of the road existence and in like a NPC.
Yeah, I'm totally going to borrow that.
Do it.
Because that's what I'm always like. I'm like, look, you can come to my house. You can hang out with me. I will go to happy hour with you. I will go on a hike
That's
with
generous.
You. As long as you, well.
Oh,
as
long I didn't as see where you're going. Okay.
As long as you bring something to the table. As long as you're not an NPC. Like, I don't even have to agree with you, which this is new for me. But just bring something to the freaking table.
Yeah.
That's, you know, and I think that, anyways, we could go on and on.
I feel like we are, and it's beautiful. there's nothing against, listen, I don't want to diminish anyone's experience. Just like you said, I don't want to invalidate anyone's experience, but I think there is something so tried and true by digging up yourself, going through the grief, taking a look at your shame to get to the other side. What's on the other side is so what this life is about.
Yeah.
It's going to take both, but yes.
It's no wonder too, I think, that like it's hard for us to do that, because we've been taught, like, just think about, like, what did your parents, like, even if you had good parents, quote unquote, or even culture, like, what is culture? What do our parents teach us about feeling feelings? Like, suck it up, get it together. Like, we were taught, our generation was taught, like, not to feel, like, to do the opposite, like, put a smile on your face, or like, toughen up, or whatever, that's for later, or don't cry, or whatever it is.
I have to say, again, because my parents are listening, just kidding, but also because they actually were really attuned. They'd be like, oh, you need to have a cry is what needs to happen right here. And you need to, and I was like, no, I don't. You don't know me. Look at my combat boots and my purple hair. And they'd be like, just go up to your room and take a second. Like, they allow that for us. But I'll tell you something. That's rare. I understand that's rare, because I heard there's no pain, no gain. I heard put a smile on your face. You're a pretty girl. You should be smiling. I mean, this gets, you know, that gets super messy.
Yeah. But no, it's just our jet. My mom did such a good job too. She, I always had to like write before I went to bed, like my top three feelings of the day. She had like this emoji chart. And
Laura's
I
mom,
to, like,
I love it.
I know. So we had to shout her out too.
Listen,
but I think
they were doing the best they could, just like we're doing the best we could, right? Like,
yeah, totally. No, and we are lucky because they did pretty good.
They did pretty good. Look at us. Wow. This should be called the Toot Your Own Horn podcast.
No, it's our parents. It's our moms. It's
we're
our
toot
moms
your own
and
mom's
dads.
Horn.
Yeah. It's totally not us. Can't take credit.
Seriously, I won't. I'm very thankful for that. But I also understand how it left a mark and how it set us up. It really set us up.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah. So there's, I'm going to forget his name, but this book Lighter, what is his name? I'll think of it in a minute, but this book Lighter, he talks about like, we're the healing generation. Like, we're the generation that's being called to like heal the next generations, because there's been so much trauma, like, you know, with world wars and the
I'm here for
depression.
It.
Yeah. And so I totally think, you know, this is just really weight loss inside my program is just a byproduct of healing. That's really all it is.
And that's all we want.
Yeah, totally.
Or to be seen. And then, you know what's so interesting about that? We want to be seen and heard. But if we really want to be seen, wouldn't we want to be seen at our highest, at our best self, right? Which is something that you would be covering and diminishing if you're trying to stay in a body that isn't your happy body.
Yeah.
Your happy, healthy
love that.
Body.
Your happy, healthy body. Yeah. And I think we do all want to be seen and heard, but a lot of us are so scared to be seen and heard. And that's, again, that's like the underlying, I think we both have similar missions, right? It's like, for me, I just want all these women to like be able to be themselves. Like that's really like, you know?
Oh, yeah. Same.
That's like really the point, but I have to trick everybody because no one's like walking around like, oh yeah, I just like want to be myself. I want to be free. They're like, no, I want to lose 20 pounds. I'm like, all right, come on in. Let's go.
By the way,
we're tricking everybody.
End, yeah. Well, all I do is I'm like, don't you care about your joints? No?
Like, no.
Weird. You should.
It's so good.
Oh, God.
I'm like going pee while you do the joint part of your workout. Don't tell anybody. No, I'm just kidding.
Are you kidding?
I'm doing cars on the toilet. I'm doing cars on the toilet. No, I just mean like during your workouts.
Laura's in my group like a month ago, and it was amazing because she would turn her camera on and she would just be going full throttle. But the whole first 10 minutes, she'd be gone. I'd be like, oh,
huh, that's
weird. She just skipped the cars section. You know what? You're like my friend Jamie McFadden, because Jamie, who's my accountability partner, would be like, that is not interesting. These cars that you talk about.
I love it though, because all I have to do is like hit go, hit like sign in, and then I have time to go pee and get my outfit on.
Incredible. All while we're doing cars.
Yeah. It's great. I do it after. I think I just do it after.
Sure. She's lying right now. That's fine. Cars, listen, everybody. The cars are, I just had a little ding-a-ling-a-ling. The cars are like the weight loss in the sense that it is the root.
Oh, shit.
I hate to say it. This is why we're made to collab
together.
Okay,
I do the cars at the end. I do. That's do fine. The cars at the end.
That's fine. I'm happy you're doing them at the end. I'm only personally insulted, but you always smile so big and bright, so it doesn't matter. It takes care of everything else.
I'm doing cars on my mouth.
Oh, my God. No. This one's going to be X-rated now. Point being, though, the cars are like the root of the weight loss in the sense that once you dig into that, then you get a little better understanding and have a little better visualization of what it is you're trying to eat your way through, or what it is you're trying to cover up through, you know, a CrossFit class or whatever it is people do to just like punish themselves, as you said. I really like that you touched on that. I hate that we do that. I hate that we punish ourselves for what we've eaten, or, I mean, what a twisted.
That has been the biggest freedom I think I've gotten from like being willing to do this work, is like the gift that I've given myself. I get to just work out for fun. Like, it's Funsies. Crazy. I'm not doing it to punish or earn. Like, oh my God, I would have to earn my weekends and then punish myself after. Like, the amount of time I spent at the gym, like I can remember going to like happy hour and then like going to the gym, like tipsy to like work off the sick, like disordered. And again, I don't even like blame myself, because it's like the air that we breathe, like our culture teaches us that. The freedom I've gotten just to be able to work out for my mental health or for my self-care, or just for, again, for fun without the hanging over my head. I remember like I never be able to go to bed at night without like at least like a two a day, you know. I remember my friends like they'd like go to a yoga class and then be like, okay, let's like go. I'm like, oh no, I have to like run for 6 miles. Like, what are you talking about? It's just torture. It's total torture. It's so much, there's so much freedom on the other side.
I do have a memory of that in high school when I was dancing 5 hours. I was as fit as they come, living on Snackwell's fat-free cookies and a baked potato and a fat-free bagel. And then I would do a step aerobics class and then go to 5 hours of dance and then come home, crank out some homework, wake up at 5 because I couldn't do homework at night because I would just like fall asleep. And then I would start the whole process again and then not eat breakfast and then have a fat-free bagel.
Oh my God. Yeah. It's the stories. And that is like my main... Why is I just don't want my daughter to be like at the lunch table trying to eat a half of an apple so she can win, like, you know, least calories. So bad. Like my friends and I, it was so bad. Like, So
I'm just so glad there's tools now. I'm glad it's discussable.
Yeah.
Because you just didn't, it was just what was happening. There wasn't like a discussion about it. I mean, at least in my circles, this is behavior. This is the world you're living in.
This is what we do. Yeah.
Yeah. God bless. Your work is really powerful.
Oh, you're so sweet.
I'm going to tell you one thing. I'm not going to tell this. I'm not saying who this is, but I had a client who worked with you and she raved and raved and raved about you. And she's one of the most stringently researched. She just has the highest standards. And I was so delighted to hear everything she had to say about you, because I didn't know you in this capacity, right? When you worked with me, you were teaching yoga and then you went off and did your coaching, and I'm like, Laura's a coach now. I don't know what that means. Everybody get on your spin bike. but what she would tell me about you was it was just refreshing. And I was like, wow, I mean, let me look into that. And then that's when I started listening to your podcast, and then I fell off the wagon, but I was like, this girl's on to something. You really are speaking to people in a way that
there's no
beautiful.
Such thing as falling off the wagon, Nicole. Did you know that? Isn't. There's no such thing as I'm just talking about okay. when it comes to diets. I'm just teasing you.
Oh, diets. That's a
yeah,
diet.
You know, okay, like everybody it. Says that, like, oh, I fell off the wagon.
Oh, right.
No, you didn't. There's no wagon. It just
okay. Well,
it,
I put the brakes on the wagon on your podcast. So I listened to it, did not fall off the wagon, but paused it. And then now I came back.
Yeah. See, exactly.
Yeah. I love that.
I don't know. I just think it's so black and white. Like when I'm talking about dieting, that was something that just like crushed me. Oh, I'm on the wagon. I'm off the wagon. I'm on the wagon. I'm off the wagon. Oh, whoops. I had 2 Girl Scout cookies. Guess I'm off the wagon. Can't start till January 1st. And it was just
a
sick cycle.
Oh, I want to take your opinion on this. So Matt and I used to get in an argument about this. I thought this was a personality trait, but maybe there's more depth behind it now that you're a real coach and I can ask you this. So I'm of the belief that let's say you wind up eating 4 pancakes with syrup on them for breakfast and you finish eating your kid's breakfast, right? It's like 4 pancakes is delicious, whatever. Then for lunch, I'm going to have a piece of fish and some vegetables. And then for dinner, I'm going to have chicken and whatever.
Yeah.
Matt would be like, oh no. He's like, the day's shot. He's like, we're getting in and out. I'm like, whoa. No. This is just where you make a new choice, right? And he's like, no. Yeah. The day's shot. Like this is where we, and I was like, I don't know about that. And we would get into arguments about it because I didn't understand that way of thinking. Like, is this a.
Oh, well, yeah, that's probably because you have a healthy relationship with food. And Matt doesn't.
Matt, well, Matt, this candle's lit. I don't know, Matt.
Yeah, don't be mad at me, Matt. Sorry.
He's not mad.
But also, it doesn't actually even really matter. It goes back to like, is the way that you are behaving and the habits that you are performing, like, are they serving you? And like, to me, in this realm, like, that might have served him. Who cares? Like,
sure.
I don't know. I don't know what his goals were. But like, for you, it's like, every moment is a Monday morning moment. Like a lot of my clients had the Matt mentality where it's like throw in the towel. Well, we already had 4 pancakes, so screw it. Let's go all out while we can. And it makes no sense. Like if you have goals to be healthy is obviously in quotes because that's subjective. But like if you have weight loss goals, like most of my clients are not going to be able to eat 4 pancakes and then In-N-Out and then Italian or whatever.
Ooh.
Like, you know, they're not
nauseous thinking about that.
Yes. Exactly.
That's a lot.
So it's like, if you have the 4 pancakes, can you treat every moment like a Monday morning moment, which is exactly what you did and had the fish. And those are the people that weigh what they want to weigh for the most part.
I love the Monday morning moment. Mm-hmm. That is so triple M. I really like it because
triple M.
It's what I preach anyways. I'm like, you can begin again at any time. Begin again.
Yeah. It's basically meditation and yoga, right? Like,
thank you.
I mean,
yes,
it is. Really is. And that's what I try to teach my clients is like, yes, they come in and they do heal their relationship with their body and food, but it is a daily practice. And that like the health, quote unquote, but like your real health, let's call it like the diet industry. The diet industry doesn't teach that it's a lifelong practice. They teach 75 hard. They teach 21 day fix. They teach that there's an end date. And I'm like, no. This is like forever. Like you have to do this forever. Yeah. And it's like brushing your teeth. I call it like brushing your brain. Like you have to, the yummy mummies, we journal about it every day because that's the practice and that's how you stay healthy and that's how you weigh what you want. And it's like, can you imagine if you didn't brush your teeth? Like your teeth would like literally fall out of your head. Oh, and it's the same when it comes to your health.
This is so great. So this is a funny or interesting anecdote. I started my monthly fit groups because back during the COVID times, I started programs and whatever, and I was launching these things and it wasn't really all sticking. And then when I did this 30-day experience, everyone's like, oh, I love a challenge. I love a 30-day. There's an endpoint. And I was like, okay, my brain doesn't work like that. So I was like, 30-day, who cares? Like, what is the goal? What's the process? Yeah. You know, that's how my brain works. So I still have it going every month. But what's interesting is I'm slowly sneaking. I'm like, okay, see you next month. You understand this is ongoing, right? This is just the choice you're making for consistency in your life. And
I think that's great because you trick them in. You're doing the same thing I'm doing. You're tricking them. We have to trick the people.
If you're a coach and you're telling me it's great, then I'm going to take this coaching opportunity to keep doing what I'm doing. And what's crazy is that people will come to me and they'll be like, I've been doing this for 6 months. And suddenly they're like, I've upped my weights. I'm sleeping better. My energy's better. I have sex drive again. And I'm like, oh, crazy. Wow. Look at that. Wow. And I was like, oh, you're just going to join for that 1 month. And you're like a repeat offender.
Okay. So I do think that that's genius, because you do have to give, like, I do not on my Instagram, you're not going to hear me talk that much about self-love, because my clients are like, kill me. I do not want to love myself. I want to lose 30 pounds. I just want to be skinny. That's what they tell me. I'm like, okay. All right, come on. And then they'll come on my podcast and they'll be like, I love myself so much. I don't care about the weight loss. Yeah. I lost the weight, but like, I love myself. And so I think your format is genius, because you do have to give, you have to like meet them where they are, right? You have to give them what they want.
Yeah.
And so I think it's so smart.
Well, thanks.
You're welcome.
I didn't intentionally do that. I did it because it was working and that's what people bought into. But then I realized, I mean, on month two, I'm like, wait a second. Does everyone understand this is just ongoing? This is just the choice you make for consistency and for results, because it's not a one input system. Nothing's a one input system.
Totally. But that's how we've been trained. Like, just do this for 30 days.
I mean,
days.
Even these, I don't want to go there, but I'm going to say, I mean, even some, the study, I'm going to speak out of turn. Stuff like Ozempic and whatnot, there seems to be some incredible health benefits to this stuff. But after 60 days, those benefits decrease or invert on themselves or something. I was just reading this study and I was blown away. Obviously, I'm misquoting it now on the podcast where it matters. But I was like, oh, gosh, you know, is that something that people are discussing prior to getting involved in that? Because that feels like a one input solution. And I haven't seen it in nature. I haven't seen it in science where just a one put, just a one put solution fixes the whole, saves
the
whole ship.
The drug companies like the Ozempics and the Wegovys and all that stuff, they say you have to pair it with lifestyle and diet. And of course, but that's not really what they're saying. I mean, they're saying it because they have to give the lip service, but I actually am a fan for some people, because if you do pair it with my program, it can be like a useful tool, but it's not unless you pair it with the mindset and like the emotional intelligence pieces. Yeah. Like it just won't work. It will just be a one and done.
Yeah.
And I had a podcast about it where I had a client who was on it come on and talk about it. But I think the question is, like, if you don't pair it with the Yummy Mommy Experience and Nicole's program. if you don't pair it with that, like, are you willing to be on it for the rest of your life?
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know. It's a whole
the decision
other podcast,
is
but
correct. It's to each person, and it's quite complicated and layered, as are most things. But the point is, the single input just often is not the answer.
Exactly.
It's going to be mindset. It's going to be lifestyle change. It's going to be a whole reformatting to some degree.
I do think like that this drug can be so awesome for so many people.
Sure.
But just not by itself, like you're saying.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I mean, we covered all of it.
All of it.
I mean, you're so fun. I don't want to let you go, but I'm going to respect your time. I do, but I didn't tell you how I end this thing.
Oh, okay. Do it.
I do a rapid fire situation. I'm going to give you 5 words. You can give me one word response, or you can give me a whole story.
Okay.
Are you ready? Happy.
Me. Because it's a toot-your horn podcast.
This is the greatest. No one said that. And I freaking love you for saying it. Okay. Ready? I have a feeling that there's going to be repeat offenders here. Healthy.
The Yummy Mommy Experience.
And Laura. Oh, God. Oh, great. Wealthy.
Ooh. Ooh. I want to be really wealthy.
I'd say you're on your way.
Am I doing this right? Am I answering these questions right?
There are no, everyone says, am I doing this right? There is no right. I just want to hear what comes to your mind and how your brain works.
Okay. Well, I don't really want to admit that to people, because I think that's another thing that's kind of taboo, to admit that you want a shit ton of money. But like, I want to be a woman who has a lot of money and who takes really great care of money. And I just think we need a lot of money in a lot of hands of women. And so I'm just going to fucking say it. I just want to be really wealthy. There you go.
I support you. I stand right there with you, because I think with money, you can do all sorts of things.
Totally.
You can help all kinds of people. You can have experiences. It's just a beautiful thing.
Yeah. Agreed.
I have no shame in that. Wise.
Mm. Okay, you and Oprah. Just what came to my mind.
Y'all, we're gonna need Laura to read some more books. We're gonna need Laura to have a little bit more. I appreciate you so much for saying that. God bless. Wow. And I'm not even wearing glasses. Okay. Free.
Well, my fucking mission, it's just free the moms. So that's like my literal mission is free the moms. That's really it. That's the tagline of the Yummy Mommy Experience, free the moms. I just see the moms and they're all trapped on the chaise lounges at the pool. This is my vision. And I have to untrap them all because they're Save not them. In the pool going down the water slide with their kids. They're not in the pool with their kids on the water slide. Now, if they don't want to be because they want to be on
it's
the sidelines.
Sometimes you know, it's cold. Yeah,
sometimes it's cold. But there's the moms. And they're trapped. They're literally handcuffed to the chaise lounges because they're scared to take off their cover up because they can't love their bodies. And so I just, we have to free all the moms from the chaise lounges and from all the things, because I really just, I want the mom to be the one suggesting the water slide. I don't want the mom feeling obligated to go to the water slide because their kid asked.
I love it more than I can even put into words.
That's like, that is my mission. That is, this You're is, doing the, it. That's the movement.
It's happening. The movement's in time.
It's happening. We're moving. God.
All right. Look, where can people find you?
Okay. So if you guys are podcast people, which clearly you are, you can check out the Yummy Mummy podcast with Laura Conley. LauraConley is how you spell my name. You can find me on Instagram at Laura Conley Coaching. And then we can put in the show notes, a link to my website. Yeah. If you guys are interested in the Yummy Mummy Experience, it's my 6-month group coaching and coursework that guarantees you lose weight for the last time. So you actually get your money back if you don't lose weight, which I think is really great because Amazing. So many people can't believe because they've tried so many things, but this is different. It's new, it's good. So, you know, you can head to the show notes if you want the link because Nicole's listeners are going to get $500 off our next
cohort. Wait, time out. Did everybody hear that? $100 off. Yeah, that for sure will be in the show notes. But oh God, I just lost my train of thought. I got all excited. Keep going.
Oh, we're going to start April 17th.
That's so, what like, I was
if you're if you're listening in real time, doors will be open. Now, if you come through Nicole, we'll let you in even if the front door is locked. But the doors are technically open April 1st to April 16th. And then I believe we start April 17th. And yeah, we lose weight for the last time. Free yourselves from food forever. Pass it down, you know, just love our lives.
Love your lives. Get off the lounge. Get on the water slide. Get to the root. Well, this has been a just absolute blast. I guess you can be free to go live your life now, Laura. If you want to leave?
Oh, no, I don't want to leave. I don't want to leave. I do have a sick in air quotes kid at home. But you know what? I'm like, you know what? If you need a mental health day, girl, take a mental health day. Okay. Yeah.
I mean, so I support it. Yeah. I love you. I adore you. I believe in the work you're doing. I appreciate your time. And
I love you. I'm squeezing
you through the Zoom.
I think you are so special and wise and healthy and wealthy and
and free.
Happy and free. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
You are the
best.
I love the work that you're doing. People are so lucky to be in your world. Seriously. I really believe that. I think you're so special.
Thank you. I appreciate that. All right. Well, we're going to blow some muck up each other's asses after this. Okay. Bye now. Thank you so much for listening to Shockin' Y'all today. This is a passion project like no other, and it wouldn't be possible without your support. Please like, download, follow, share, which sounds like a lot, so maybe just one of those will suffice. Please check out my online programming at sweatandstillness.com. Grab a copy of my best-selling children's book, Yoked, on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. I hope you gathered plenty of light nuggets and personal downloads from today's episode. I will see you next time. Okay, I love you. Bye.